B-Pod Studios.
I went up and would get a cookie in the cookie club every time I'd go to the store. It's one of my fondest childhood memories. And when I go back to Wegmans, I got to check on the cookie club and make sure that everything
is still thriving. You got to get little Toots involved. When she's a year. Yeah.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. I didn't even think about that. Maybe I'll give her my first cookie card. I still have it upstairs in hard plastic, like on a baseball card. And I'll give it to her.
You know what I missed as a kid? The Pizza Hut, what was it? It was the reading program. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Book It.
Book It. Yes, that's it. Yeah. That was
my mom read
too.
The books, and I got fatter. That's how that worked.
I've never had a pizza from Pizza Hut.
What?
Yeah, never.
How is that possible?
Well, everything's logistical. So, like, growing up, there wasn't one around me. And then, you know, after I got married and all that stuff, there wasn't any around me. And never had a pizza.
You've never had a Pizza Hut breadstick?
No.
Oh, Bobby.
Sorry.
You never went to the buffet?
They have a buffet?
They had the Pizza Hut buffet.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what the cool kids at Our Lady of Mount Carmel used to do in grade school. Well, you would have a half day. If you had a half day, you'd get done. Because Mount Carmel, you had Burpee Park right there. And then Doylestown. Like, literally, like the middle of town. And you would get done a half day of school, go to the bathroom, get changed out of your uniform into your street clothes.
Wait a second. Go to the bathroom?
Yeah. Okay. What do you think? We just get changed in the middle? We're not barbarians, Bob.
No, I didn't know you guys were all on a set schedule that you all went to the bathroom at the same time. But go ahead.
What do we get let out of school at different times? You go to the bathroom, you get changed, and you go into the town, and then you'd walk across town, and you go to the Pizza Hut buffet, and that's where you partied, man. Where you got the chocolate chip pizza.
Again, logistics. You had a Pizza Hut there. We didn't have Pizza Huts. Yeah, we didn't have pizza. We did different places. Yeah.
But before other pizza places that were better became so readily available with the Grubhubs and all that fun stuff of the world, and Vetri making pizza all over the place, like, you look at it, like, that was a thing you looked forward to as a kid. Like, especially if you were a suburban kid and didn't grow up in the city around, like, a mom-and-pop pizza shop.
Right. But
like, Pizza Hut pizza. Superstorm Sandy, I crushed a pepperoni pizza in Breezewood, PA, watching Monday Night Football while that storm was rolling through because I couldn't get back to Philadelphia. That was the last time I had a Pizza Hut pizza. And you know what? I'll admit it. You know, is it the best? Absolutely not. Does it do the job? It certainly does. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, through the Xfinity Studio, rather, from our quarantine bunker broadcast booths here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Real quick, let's throw out our Twitter question again today, our Twitter poll today, and just get an update on that so we can reintroduce the lead story today on the Eagles. Now, there is two real spicy meatballs. The main course has to do with Alshon Jeffrey and the Eagles wanting to move on from Alshon. Howie Roseman, per a report from Jeff McClain, who cites a source and says that the Eagles tried trading Alshon Jeffrey a month after guaranteeing the rest of his contract last year. Come on, man. And as part of that, as part of guaranteeing his contract, what they did was they freed up space to use in cap space. However, they never used that cap space because they failed to make any significant acquisition throughout the course of last year. So, Sam Wilson, what are the people looking at right now on our Twitter poll?
Today we're asking, do you feel Alshon Jeffrey has played his last game as an Eagle? Yes or no? We have just under 800 votes so far, and it's close. 51% are saying yes.
Wow! How many votes did you say we have?
Just under 800.
Just under 800 at the start of the show. Okay. Wow. All right. And who brings us that fine Twitter poll, Sam?
Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
All right. So, Jeff McClain comes out with this story. And in guaranteeing Alshon Jeffrey's deal, that puts $26 million guaranteed dead cap for the 2020-2021 season, because this is, again, granted, this is before the new CBA came out. So he guarantees this deal for Alshon Jeffrey. Fortunately, the CBA makes it a little bit easier for the Eagles to move on from him if they're going to do that. That allows the team, this new CBA, to put $10 million of the $26 million guaranteed in dead money into the 2021 season under the post-June 1st designation. Now, that's a little bit of a step in the right direction, a little bit of help for the Birds, but if if you're betting on it right now, I think the smart money says Alshon Jeffrey has not played his last game as an Eagle. I think, and even reading a little bit more so into Howie Roseman's comments from last week, where he said that Alshon has to worry about getting healthy before anything else. Well, that helps the Eagles, certainly, if he's healthy and he's playing well. That helps him. And it also helps the Eagles in moving on from him. If he goes out, he shows that he's healthy, maybe that makes him, that will make it easier for him to be traded, because that'll nullify another team's issue or worry that he might get injured again. Coming back from the Liz Frank injury. So I think there's a lot of avenues to explore here with Alshon Jeffrey. But the bottom line is, Howie Roseman made a slew of mistakes. Maybe the worst decision he's made in terms of a contract since he's really taken over again from Chip Kelly. Whether it's Nelson Agholor's deal and getting the $9.5 million that he got last year, or this Alshon Jeffrey deal, at least Nelson Agholor played. But Alshon Jeffrey has a contract right now that is absolutely abysmal and might even be immovable. You look at what Howie has done with this deal, it's atrocious.
Well, you know, we'll go back to, we were talking about Carson Wentz's psyche earlier a little bit with the Cam Newton stuff. And you know, you have to wonder. And Jamie, I totally understand your point. And probably many, many, many people feel exactly the same. And it's probably right, because the Eagles have put it out there about how much they care about Carson Wentz's psyche and all that. Can you bring him back? I mean, can you have him play after what he said, after an offensive player apparently approached him in the locker room and said, "Yo, dude, what are you doing? You're trying to divide this team." After he went to a reporter and said that, you know, Carson Wentz doesn't look all around and, you know, I feel slighted, whatever it may be. Can you have him back on the field? I mean, or do the Eagles look at it like, well, we just got to take a loss. We're going to have to get rid of him and eat the money or whatever. It's in their best business interest to get him on the field to see if you can trade him. There's no question about that. But if the psyche of this team that the organization has portrayed as being so important, if the psyche of this team maybe, and specifically the quarterback, comes first, perhaps it's best just to cut your losses.
And just cut him. But then that, again, is $26 million.
It's a horrible business move, but my God, they're in the business of caring so much about the psyche of their quarterback.
If I'm the Eagles, I think the better business decision is, like, Carson, can you make this work? And I know Carson said all the right stuff publicly. If he could, I don't know if even saying take it on the chin is the right way to put it, but if he can just say, all right, you know what, I'm not a big fan of this guy. Does he help us win if he's playing healthy and he's out there and he's on the football field? Certainly he does. If I got to stomach another month of him playing for this football team during the course of the regular season, so be it, if it gives us more flexibility down the line. If you're Howie Roseman, do you want to cut ties or do you want to try to at least salvage something? When you turn around so quickly, not even a month later, after giving them the guaranteed money, it shows that you at least have some uncertainty already. It shows that you're already willing to part ways with him, and now it's only become harder. I don't know. You're right, Bob. It is bad business if they just decide to cut him, but is it cutting off your nose to spite your face, as they say? 610-632-0975. And then this was a story we got into earlier. Bobby just alluded to it. Jason LaCanfora of NFL.com is, or CBS,
oh, sorry, my mic was on.
CBSSports.com did not put out a report saying Cam Newton or the Eagles are interested in Cam Newton. He just said there's a couple of landing spots that would most make sense for Cam Newton. I believe one was the Ravens behind Lamar Jackson.
What?
Okay. Like, it's bonkers. And one of the other ones was the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'll read for you, Jamie, just to, you know, put the quarter in again here. Jason LaCanfora says there's no way the Eagles can go into the season with Nate Sudfeld behind Carson Wentz. Not with Wentz's, not with his injury history. Not with the stakes being this high for Philadelphia. Joe Flacco would make a hell of a lot of sense here, too. But if I can get Newton for $7 million a year, $10 million a year, I'm doing it. Add in a voidable year or two to lower the cap hit. What am I missing here? End quote, Jason LaCanfora.
A lot, clearly.
But Jamie, what do you mean? You got a backup quarterback, a guy that's a former MVP, a guy that could take over and play if Carson Wentz is hurt. What's the problem?
I would do it, he says. Yeah, that's not why you're not a NFL GM for a reason.
Oh, yeah?
Well, first of all, you have to...
What am I missing here?
That's you're presuming that Cam wants a backup job.
Uh-huh.
It's still unknown whether he has starting offers yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's where he's wrong, one. And two, if he paid any lick of attention to the Philadelphia Eagles locker room over the last 2 years, they're moving in the direction of getting away from this crap. So the last thing you want to do...
Wait, getting away from what crap?
We'll make just a split locker room. Nick Foles and Carson Wentz, if we want to admit it or not, it was a divided locker room.
Uh-huh.
I'll take a Super Bowl for a divided locker room.
Well, so will I. But we're talking about the future now, and we're not talking about the past. And you're trying to get away from a split locker room, and you're trying to make it Carson Wentz's locker room, much like Seattle did with Russell Wilson's locker room. Because
how many Super Bowls have they won since they catered to his locker? Look, I'm not Jimmy. I'm not going against what you're saying.
One of the most successful teams in the NFC, still while rebuilding.
Yeah, honestly, I am not going against what you're saying. I'm going against what the Eagles believe, if this is the truth, that the psyche of someone is more important than the talent on the team. I don't think it's about
his psyche, though. I think it's about the locker room.
Okay, but you're talking about a locker room what? If they get divided between quarterbacks, how it'll affect Carson Wentz?
This isn't a non-polar... You're bringing in a polarizing... Well, potentially. A polarizing loud figure in Cam Newton that is going to draw people's attention to him with his ridiculous grandma outfits that he wears after games, showing up in Ugg slippers to the stadium, you know, having a scarf collection that the doctor on the TV every day would be, jealous of. What's her name? Dr. Burke? Dr. Burke's scarf collection, Cam Newton.
Yeah, but if he's the backup quarterback, nobody notices that.
Yeah, but people are going to notice. If Alshon Jeffrey's still here, he's not going to notice. If a couple balls in camp go to, the right spot a receiver likes to catch it, they start going, oh, man, maybe Cam should be starting over Carson. Cam's a future former MVP. He led his team to the Super Bowl, too. And then that conversation picks up, and it's ridiculous for that reason alone.
Yeah, can you go fancy outfits after a game if you're a backup quarterback?
No,
you
because
can't.
You're not
can, right?
You're not on the podium. Like, nobody's going to notice.
The fashion runway down the bowels of the stadium, people will notice.
Well, after a game gets done and we're watching the post game, or we're coming home from the game and stuff like that, what Cam Newton wore isn't first and foremost.
Nah, D-Gon will be breaking it down.
Look, I'm not being insensitive to it, but I really am getting tired of it. And it started with the Sixers, you didn't build it properly and all that stuff. My God, just get talent, come out and play football. And look, I know it's not that easy anymore, but who's to say an organization can't say, yeah, it is. We're getting a really loud guy and a former MVP and all that as your backup only because you've gotten hurt 2 of the 4 years you've been in this league. And if we're going to have success, because we do have a lot of other talent in this locker room, we're not going to go anywhere if Nate Sudfeld's the backup quarterback. Just play your game. You're the starting quarterback. Don't worry about anything else. Everybody else, listen, Carson's our starter. You all know that. And Carson will go out and prove why he's the starter. His talent will allow him to do that. And the talent surrounding him will allow him to become an MVP-type player almost every year that he plays. So I really get so tired of this. Oh, well, what is he going to think and this and that? Like, just get the talent. If Cam Newton's available and you can make him a backup and he could be the best backup in the league, hell yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah, I'm always about.
Where are you sitting, Mark? You're sitting on the fence watching me and Jamie go back and forth. But you got.
Oh, I'm entertained.
Got?
Oh, I wanted to add Nick Foles if he was made available again. I don't give a damn. Like, if Carson Wentz is going to cry about who his backup is or a veteran wide receiver, well then shame on him.
All right, well hold on right there. Really hold on right there.
I don't think it's about him.
Carson Wentz isn't doing the crying. We got to be clear on that. Like, the Eagles are the ones that are saying, we need to build a locker room. I haven't heard Carson Wentz cry about anything. The Eagles are the ones that said, oh, well, we might not get those type of receivers because of Carson. We want to build receivers with him.
Yeah,
whether he says that to them, I don't know.
I would assume.
Okay. All right.
And all this is speculation anyway. I just want to make that clear.
Sure,
again,
sure.
It's not a report from David Lott.
It's fun conversation. Exactly.
But I don't like looking at one player's vanity as a reason to ignore getting somebody who's talented at their job into that position on your football team. Like, I don't – like, Carson saying, you know what, I don't want to get a veteran wide receiver because they might not listen to me.
what the hell? He can help the team win. What do you mean he's not going to listen?
And Jamie's right, though. Jamie's right in that, like, you know, the Eagles brought in Jim McMahon to be a backup to Randall Cunningham. And everybody was like, you know, oh, what difference does it make? You know, Randall's the starter and all that. Yeah, well, then McMahon came in when Randall tweaked something and like, really led the team to look better than they had under Randall for a little while. So it's always there, especially with the quarterback. But I'm just of the belief, like, I don't care about psyche. I don't care about any of that, and I don't like an organization that is running their organization based on the psyche of a player or two. Just get the best players and make it work. That's just where I am.
But it's not a player or two. It's the most important position in sports.
Right. Yeah, no question. And like
popular,
I said, you're right.
Quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Best player is always the backup quarterback.
When we come back, we'll get a little bit into this all-decade team, because one member of the Philadelphia Eagles absolutely got snubbed. And then there was an interesting little observation here about the four Eagles players that did make it on this all-decade team. We'll get into that in a little bit. And also, quarantine question of the day, go-to meal. What is the meal that you could have most consistently? Because I actually... I didn't realize this, but I made something on Friday after the show, and then yesterday I had a another bowl of it, and I asked our nanny if they had any of it, and they did not. So I literally ate this whole thing, and I'll tell you what that was. It's definitely a go-to meal of mine, and perhaps it's something that you might like. Jamie, I've told you about it before. We'll get back to it in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Virtual NFL Draft. I'm Sam Wilson, and this Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by H&R Block. There's a lot going on right now, more than ever. People need their tax refund. H&R Block has many ways to do your taxes as safely as possible. Work with a tax pro remotely, drop off, or file online. Block is always here to help. After talks of different ways the NFL could still move forward with their 2020 draft in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, Adam Schefter announced yesterday that the NFL will officially hold their draft virtually. As of right now, the plan is to have general managers and head coaches on the phone making decisions together from their own homes. The 2020 NFL draft will begin on April 23rd. Hard Knocks, the popular HBO show taking fans behind the scenes of NFL training camps, has announced that they will feature two teams this season, given that the NFL is able to have training camp. The two teams featured will be the Los Angeles Rams and the Los Angeles Chargers. For more news on the current sports shutdown, keep it locked in right here to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Sam Wilson on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. Your next chance to win $500 and qualify to win $10,000 in our Fanatic 500 Fast Cash Contest. It's coming up at 8 a.m. Listen to get your Fast Cash keyword and a chance at banking $500 fast with 97.5 The Fanatic.
Guys, did you know half of all men suffer from ED and that you have other choices than taking Viagra? I'm Dr. Sloan, a board-certified urologist at Philadelphia Urology Associates. I'm treating men with Gainswave, a revolutionary ED treatment that addresses the root cause of ED. Gainswave is a safe, 20-minute medical treatment that breaks up blockages and creates new blood vessels using sound waves. There is no downtime, no pills or shots with Gainswave. My patients are active the same day, and they're happy with the results. It starts with a free consultation at Philadelphia Urology Associates. If Gainswave is right for you, there'll be no more waiting for a pill to kick in and you will be spontaneous again. To find out if Gainswave is right for you, schedule a free consultation with me at Philadelphia Urology Associates. Text the word CURE to 797979. That's CURE, C-U-R-E, to 797979.
HVAC contractors and techs, want to be sure the system you're repairing or installing is running efficiently? Then test it with Testo. Heating, cooling, air quality, electrical, and more. If it can be measured, it should be measured with precision with Testo instrumentation. Testo is a world leader, headquartered right here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. For accurate results, ask for Testo by name. To see Testo's full line of measurement instruments, products, and job site solutions, visit Testo.com. That's Testo.com. Testo. Be sure.
For the one standing guard, for the eagle-eyed, for the knights in shining armor, and for all those who support them, we are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, plus free access to specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions.
Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As the coronavirus crisis enters another week, Delaware Valley small business owners have now access to billions of dollars of relief funding to help alleviate some of their pain. Join 97.5 The Fanatic as we present a free 30-minute webinar this Wednesday, April 8th at 2 p.m., hosted by the Small Business Administration. You will learn if your business qualifies for the available programs, and if so, how you can apply for a share of these available funds. Register today for this webinar and help save your small business by visiting 975thefanatic.com.
At Tasty Cake, we're all about making happy happen, even at the DMV.
Can I help you?
Yes, we're here to make someone happy.
You sure you got the right place?
May I offer you one of Tasty Cake's iconic butterscotch crimpets?
I suppose. Not bad. Pretty good, actually.
Ma'am, did I just see you smile?
Don't push your luck.
And there you have it. Another very happy customer.
Next.
Proving all it takes is a Tasty Cake to make happy happen.
In business today, being ready is more challenging than ever. As you work to keep your doors open and employees and customers protected, Cintas is here to help. Our trucks can deliver essential supplies like soap, microfiber towels, disposable gloves, paper towels, toilet tissue, and safety glasses. We can even sanitize your restrooms. We'll serve you with the speed and dedication you need. Learn how Cintas can help your business stay ready at Cintas.com.
When you go to the mechanic in here...
Pass me the torque wrench. Nope, let me have the flamethrower.
That sounds wrong. You know what else sounds wrong? When you hear about the interest you're earning on your savings with the largest banks. But with the Marcus by Goldman Sachs online savings account, you could earn much more interest. And hear this. Open a Marcus by Goldman Sachs online savings account in minutes at Marcus.com. You can money.
Comparison made to the three largest U.S. banks measured by total deposits. Rates as of February 4th, 2020 and may vary by state. Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC.
The Home Depot is here to help. And we have many ways to help. You can download our app or go online to find the essential products and information you need quickly. You can order what you need online, and we can have it waiting for you at the store. Or we can even deliver over a million items free. And we have thousands of how-to videos for the projects and repairs you need to make. We're here to help. The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Sports Talk for Doylestown and all of Bucks County.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Coming up at 9 o'clock today, we'll speak with Adam Lefko, the Adam Lefko Show, the Adam Lefko Podcast, NBA on TNT, Bleacher Report. Does a lot of great stuff with Candace Parker, Dwayne Wade, Shaquille O'Neal. We'll talk to him. He's got great content he's been giving out over this whole quarantine time. Quarantine meal. I started making this dish in college because it cost like $4 to make. And it was two boxes of penne pasta, two cans of tuna fish, some olive oil, garlic, sautéed in a pan, and you put it over the top of the pasta. It's out of this world. It's delicious.
Really? I got to try that.
I actually did it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, pretty good, Jane.
Yeah, it was solid. I threw some peas in. I got nuts.
These were crazy in the Lynch household.
Feeling wacky.
That was some lit pasta. All right, anyway. So I made that on Friday after the show. And I figured, you know, it was Friday, you know, for me, Friday during Lent, so no meat. And I was making the pasta and all that. And then I think I had like a bowl for lunch. And then later that night, I was a little hungry, so I had another smaller bowl. Saturday, I think at one point, maybe for lunch again, I had it. And Sunday, I had it. And yesterday, I'm scooping out, like, the last couple things of penne into another bowl, right? And I was like, hold on a second. And I say to my wife, I go, hey, babe, did you have any of this? And she goes, I just had a couple forkfuls of yours when you weren't looking. And I'm like, okay. I asked her nanny. She hadn't had any.
I essentially had two boxes of the pasta over the course of like 4 days, 3 days. No, not even a weekend, 3 days, not even. So like, I think that without question is my go-to quarantine meal because this isn't the first time I've done that over the last 3 weeks. I've been doing a lot of the yard work, Bob, so I've been working off the carbs.
The machete's been getting a workout.
The machete, you know what? I'm going to use it on my deck. There's some, you know, there's some.
On your what?
On my deck. There's the banister.
Scared me there for a second.
Bobby.
Bobby.
I don't think you need a machete there, Mark. Fingernail clippers would be just fine.
Oh, Bobby. By the way, that reminds me of something. Anyway. So, I think that's my go-to quarantine meal because I've had that now at least twice, the two boxes of this stuff with the tuna fish because, you know, it's the non-perishables, so I got them in my pantry, if you will. I could eat that meal every day. A little sprinkle of Parmesan cheese over top, even though they're not supposed to mix fish with cheese. I'm sorry. But nonetheless, it tastes delicious.
A lot of chefs say that. It's delicious.
Yeah, I can't ignore it. I got yelled at once. I was overseas having a meal. It was a lobster linguine thing. And I've done the lobster. And I just had a big old thing of linguine, and I asked for cheese, and they go, sir, we don't do that here. That's a bad. And I was like, can I get
you
some
were in
damn
Spain
cheese?
At the time?
It tastes good to me.
Yeah, wherever I was. Bob Cooney, what is your go-to quarantine meal?
Oh, that's a pretty good one. I would have to say, kind of on the same line, I'd have to go shrimp scampi. Huge bowl of shrimp scampi, and then when there's leftovers, it's just the best the next day and the next day and the next day.
There is something about when the sauce or the olive oil soaks into that pasta. It's all
just better the next day.
Now, do you go with a nice capellini, like a nice angel hair? Do you go with a spaghetti, a bucatini?
No, usually it's spaghetti. She likes spaghetti more than anything else. Last night I made a pasta dish, and I used... what did I use? I forget. I used some kind of other pasta. I forget.
Do you have leftovers?
I do, yeah. I made sauce yesterday. I made meatballs yesterday, homemade. I also made stuffed peppers that we're going to have tonight. I made that last night after dinner. I was a cooking fool yesterday.
Wait, hold on. You made meatballs?
Yeah, I did. I know you're not allowed to eat them, so don't worry about it.
Oh,
They're delicious.
I
don't want to start a fight by offering you a meatball because
I don't want. No. Well, you know better, so thank you. But first off, thank you. Second, did you use veal?
Yeah. You use veal and ground beef.
We haven't been able to get veal. I haven't made meatballs this entire time.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's funny. We pulled some out of the freezer on Sunday. And it didn't look right because I think it had been in the garage freezer for quite a while. So threw that out. And, yeah, I made a run yesterday morning right after the show and was able to find some.
All right. I got to get me some veal because I got to make me some meatballs. I've been able to get the pork, been able to get the beef, but I can't make them without the veal. Jamie, what's your quarantine go-to?
Since we haven't been ordering a ton of takeout, normally I would just say any form of pizza I can get. Nice. But since I'm cooking the majority of the time, I would probably go with chicken parm. I actually had some leftover cutlets this morning for breakfast.
That's a solid. Okay.
So right, I made a slew of cutlets, and I'd probably just go chicken parm. I can do it every day. It's delicious.
See, the versatility of that is you could go sandwich.
Yeah.
You could go over pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Why, we all went Italian. That's ridiculous. let me ask you this. Sam Wilson, what is your go-to quarantine meal? Now, keep in mind, that's a great point, Jamie. This is something that you can't necessarily order out. It's something that you would be making consistently. So, Sam, for you, what would be your go-to quarantine meal?
Mine would definitely be a pasta, too. I'm not sure if it would be my chicken broccoli Alfredo or if it would be my, like, prosciutto vodka tortellini thing that I make.
Well,
but it would
nice.
Be one of
wow.
them.
All right.
Sam, do you make your own, what was your first?
Alfredo? No.
Alfredo. Do you make your own Alfredo?
No, I usually just get it in a can and then I make like the chicken and the broccoli and all
right.
that stuff.
Well, I'll tell
but
you what.
I add spices to it.
Yeah, if you get a chance, and I think we all have chances now that we're quarantined. and Mark, maybe you do this, and
night.
Jamie, the way you are. Like, Donna made her own Alfredo, homemade Alfredo, for the first time about a month or so ago. Oh, my God. It is so much lighter and so much tastier than the canned Alfredo. It was awesome. Like,
yeah, I want to make it.
Yeah, look it up and try to do it, Sam,
and
because
I heard
it's so much better.
Because it's just basically
easy.
Cream.
Yeah, piece of cake. Yeah,
the thing I want to try and perfect is carbonara. I've only tried it like once or twice, And it's really hard because once you get the egg in, if it's too hot, you'll scramble the egg.
Yeah.
So you need like that sweet spot.
Jamie, that was my dad's meal. Like every single birthday, that's what I made. He would make it the day before and make it sit in the fridge so everything soaked in and we weren't allowed to touch it.
So good.
It was his signature. He was so good. Because there's like this authentic Italian restaurant by me, and he became really good friends with the owners who were like straight from Italy, and he got their recipe and like made it his own. Oh, it was the best.
I like that we all went heavy carbs. We're really big on the carbs.
Yes. Let me get back to this meatball thing a little bit. I know you won't eat anybody else's, and it's only a family thing. And
outside
you know,
the family, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What is? Give me an ingredient inside one of the Farzetta's meatballs that maybe few others would use that make your meatballs special.
You got.
That's a good question.
And I'm not being. I mean, I'm honest because I. Yeah.
I'll tell you.
They're different than everyone else, Bob. They use veal pork and beef.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you. I'll tell you the main ingredient that you're missing here. I'll tell you. It's the secret. I'm going to let everybody know. So the cat's going to be out of the bag here. All right. The thing is, you guys don't have the same vintage of love that my family puts into the meatball. You guys have your own different vintage of love. The vintage of love that goes into mine is a nice, you know, smooth, you know, Chianti, if you will. It's a nice thing. It's a nice Calabrese, you know, Galliopo grape, if you will, that goes into the meatball. That's all. That's the difference. So what I'm telling you, Bob, is there really is no difference. It's just how we do it versus how you do it. And you know what it is?
I was like, is it a special kind of cheese? Is there, you know, do you use special milk or do you not use milk? Do you soak your own breadcrumbs? You know, something along those lines. I got love. In the words of Jamie Lynch.
I'll say this. My Uncle Sonny would make his meatballs. If we're ever making Uncle Sonny meatballs, we would refer to them. We would just put in a lot of cheese. Like we always put cheese in the meatball, but Uncle Sonny would take like he would get like a shovel and like just go down into the Parmesan cheese and shovel it into the meatball mix and stir it up all nice. Like that's how he would do it. Usually it's a moderate amount, but if we're making like if I have one of my Uncle Sonny's grandkids over, I did this for my cousin Sandre. I made heavy cheese meatballs.
Okay,
so that they were like her grandfather's. So there's little things that everybody in my family does, but outside the family is like. You don't want to go back to your great aunt, or if your great aunt's looking over your shoulder, your grandparents looking over your shoulder, looking down from above. You don't want to have to explain to them why you went outside the family for meatballs. That's really what it comes down to. It comes down to guilt.
It's like that unwritten guilt rule.
It absolutely is 100%. 100%. That's what it is. It's not even.
But in all honesty,
make them. Yeah.
If we had a party. And I know you brought your own alcohol to the last time I had you guys over, so this probably isn't above you. But if we have a party and meatballs is one of the main dishes there, you're literally not partaking. Look, you're not going to. I'm just asking. Honest to God. It's an honest to God question.
No, because I was telling a story about whether or not I was a jerk or not for what I said on the family little happy hour. This definitely makes me a jerk. At most, I might have a bite of my wife's meatball that she took out of the buffet line or whatever it was. Like if we went over to your house, Bob, and you had a plate of meatballs, if she took a meatball out, put it on her plate, broke off a little piece for me, I would eat it, and I would eat it only for this reason, just to know mine were better. That's the only reason I would do it, and I swear I have done this before. I admit it. I know it's ridiculous.
Another honest question.
Yeah.
If you ate it and you said, oh, my God, that's really good, not saying better than yours, not saying better than Uncle Alfredo, whoever you said. But, but honest to God, if you really liked it, would you then maybe go up and grab a couple?
This is crazy wild to me, these
food rules that Italian people have.
All my deceased ancestors to do cartwheels in their grave, Bob. Like here's the best compliment I think I've ever given anyone else, any other family about that particular cuisine. Not bad. That's good. It's good. It's not bad. Like it's been good. It's been not bad. Good. Not bad.
Do you have to have them sign a waiver that they will never say that you said that once you partook in one of their meatballs?
This is wildly crazy to me. I'm acknowledging how stupid it is, and I got it's funny. Like I got family.
I love
members
it.
That
I mean,
like,
it's hysterical.
I got family members that are like, "Oh, what the hell? I don't care. They'll eat everybody's meatballs." And then I got family members that are like, "Well, hold on. You went over that guy's house? Cooney? You went over a guy named Cooney's house and you had a big old plate of meatballs? Yeah, I don't know about that. Like, you know, there would be judgment.
Wow.
And I acknowledge that it's stupid, and I acknowledge...
No, I think it's fascinating. I would never call anything stupid that people
all right,
do.
I have another question here, because you said you haven't been able to get veal, so you haven't made meatballs.
Yes.
So you will not make a meatball without veal in it?
Yeah, why would I want to make a bad meatball? What? Huh?
Because you can get by without it.
You want me... Whoa, hold on a second. My family came to this country, worked really hard, and all of a sudden I'm not going to have veal in the meatballs? What are you, nuts?
So just ground meat meatballs is what you're saying, James?
Well, you can throw the pork in, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I can't. No, I have to have veal in my meatballs, in all honesty.
Wow.
Even though I'm Irish.
So those are our quarantined meatballs. And I don't doubt for a second, Bob, that you're an excellent cook. I'm not saying that at all.
But it's funny because yesterday as I'm making the meatball, I had to go to the store on Sunday to get the right kind of Parmesan cheese. Like, we have Parmesan cheese in the house, but I have to have, it's not the finely grated Parmesan, like the real finely.
Yeah.
I need to have like the shredded, the stick. You know, like little sticks.
Shredded.
Shredded. Mm-hmm. I need to have that in my meatballs. That's what puts it over the top for me.
The Twitch audience really wants some meatballs right now.
I have plenty in the refrigerator. I might grab some next break.
Go find out what we need. I'll tease this for our next segment. We'll find out what kind of spaghetti Bob Cooney had last night. So we'll check that out. But real quick,
rigatoni's.
Tony's plural.
Rigatoni.
Yeah.
Well, there was more than one.
That's assumed, Bob. Nobody's eating one rigatoni, psycho.
Well, I believe it's actually rigatono. Singular.
If Mark was at an Irish person's house, he would have one rigatoni.
Yeah, I'd be like, look at these people trying.
It wasn't
good
paid.
For them. Look at these Irish people trying to be cultural. By the way, did you see the Irish, the Irish, whatever he is, prime minister, I think? He studied medicine, gave it up to get into politics, and now is helping out in the medical field in Ireland with COVID-19.
Attaboy.
He's curing it he made meatballs at home, and he's giving them to the people. Anyway, but real quick, I do want to find out what kind of spaghetti you had last night. But here's the thing. Yesterday, NFL.com released their all-decade team, as voted on, I believe, by the Hall of Fame committee and the NFL, I guess whatever that means. And here's who made it from the Eagles. Fletcher Cox, Darren Sproles, who spent the most seasons with the Eagles more so than any other team. I know people go back to San Diego. People also go back to the Saints, obviously. He was only with the Saints for 3 seasons. He was here for 6, and I believe he was with
Fletcher
the Chargers.
Cox.
He was with the Chargers for 5 seasons. But here's who made the team. Fletcher Cox, Darren
Fletcher
Sproles,
Cox.
LeSean McCoy, and Jason Peters. Once again, Cox, Peters,
Fletcher Cox.
Long Cox.
No, Chris Long didn't make it, even though it's unfortunate because he's a two-time Super Bowl champion. Darren Sproles, LeSean McCoy. 4 names on the Eagles the NFL's all-decade team that spent the majority of that
breakfast up, pistol.
Yeah, that's the snub. But just about these 4 names right now, Bob, I'll start with you. What jumps out to you about those 4 names? Peters, Sproles, McCoy, Cox. Predominant Eagles on the NFL's all-decade team. What jumps out to you, Robert Cooney?
That only one is still here?
That only one is still here. That jumps out to you. Interesting. Jamie Lynch. We went from Meatball Bob to Jamie Lynch.
Meatball.
Jamie Lynch. What jumps out to you?
2 of them were drafted.
Interesting. All right.
I know that's not the answer you're looking for, but that was the first thing that came to my mind.
Sam Wilson, McCoy, Sproles, Peters, Fletcher Cox. What jumps out to you about those names?
That we let go of McCoy.
One of these things is not like the other. Only one. Because you would think in a decade where the Eagles, I don't know, won a Super Bowl, there would be multiple people from that Super Bowl team on this list, people that played in that game. Only one name on the all-decade list. And shout out to my man Dave Zangaro, who even tweeted this out yesterday. It didn't jump out to me initially, but Fletcher Cox is the only name on
Fletcher
that
Cox.
List that played in the Super Bowl the Eagles won. You would think 4 of the best of the NFL for a decade that predominantly played that decade with the Eagles would be more than one guy would be on that list that won a Super Bowl. No, the only guy on that list that played on that team that won a Super Bowl, and even throughout that season, was Fletcher Cox, because Jason Peters got injured, Darren Sproles got injured, LeSean McCoy was already nixed and traded away thanks to Kiko Alonso and Chip Kelly. And Fletcher Cox is the only name. Like, this goes back to the conversation we were having about whether or not the Eagles should retire Malcolm Jenkins' number. And I am always in the school of nobody's number should ever get retired. I think it's stupid, whatever. But in a world where we do retire numbers, yeah, Malcolm Jenkins should at least get strong consideration for retiring the number 27. Because when you think about the list of people that were all-time greats, or at least all-decade greats, the Eagles right now, even with the Super Bowl champion, who's the Hall of Famer? Fletcher Cox? All-decade team? It's funny, the guy that might be even the most deserving, other than Jason Peters, Fletcher Cox, obviously LeSean McCoy is one of the leading rushers of the decade, so he should be on there. But Jason Kelce, snubbed as all get-out. All-decade team, he doesn't get the credit here. Marquise Pouncey and Alex Mack get on the all-decade team as centers. No love for Jason Kelce. Only two centers were mentioned, and Jason Kelce has made more Pro Bowl, more All-Pro appearances than Marquise Pouncey and Alex Mack. Alex Mack hasn't even been an All-Pro once, and Jason Kelce has been an All-Pro three times in his career. I believe all centers that have been three-time All-Pros are in the Hall of Fame, and Jason Kelce has been a three-time All-Pro.
Hmm.
How the hell is he not on this list? How is he left
off? That's a
good
argument.
The all-decade team. Oh, the argument? He got snubbed, flat out snubbed.
Pouncey's
and I'm not even talking
good.
About it. Like, yeah, he's good, but he's not as good as Jason Kelce.
I don't know. I honestly can't talk to another team how their center plays, in all honesty.
Well, I watch the center position more than anything, Pouncey.
Yeah.
Marquise Pouncey, how many Super Bowl victories Marquise Pouncey have with the Steelers?
So
that would be a zero. Alex Mack, how many did he?
Halapuli Vadi Vaitai has one.
Well, that's because he belongs to the Hall of Fame. No, but in all seriousness, Alex Mack, wasn't he part of the collapse? I believe he was on the Falcons when they fell apart against the Patriots. He hasn't won a Super Bowl. Other than that, he's been with the Browns. Jason Kelce's won a Super Bowl. Jason Kelce, by the way, when Jason Peters went down, was still anchoring that offensive line from the center position, doing a hell of a job doing it. It's just wild that the only guy that actually played in the only Super Bowl the Eagles have won, and it happened in this decade, the only guy that played in that game was Fletcher Cox. That is, it's wild to me. Two things jump out to me. One, the only name is Fletcher Cox. The other is that Jason Kelce absolutely got snubbed by not being put on this list. Voted on by the NFL and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's a damn travesty is what it is. And anyway, back to the main thing here is, no, Bob, I would not eat your meatballs. But there you go.
I'm getting texts from my Italian friends right now about you.
Oh,
which
really?
Which I will read back to you on the break. Yeah.
Are they?
I'm not. I'll tell you after that. I'm still going back and forth. Yes.
Ooh.
And they were questioning my meatball making skills also.
Oh, Bob.
Asking me whether I bake or fry or what. So I'll just give you a little insight real quick.
Oh, yeah.
I usually bake. So I make the meatballs, then I bake them for about 10 minutes. You know, you don't cook them all the way through, obviously, and then I put them in the sauce and let them finish there. Yesterday, because we just got this new cast iron skillet that I absolutely love, I said, oh, you know what, let me fry them up.
Yeah.
So I did, but just mostly for texture, just to get the nice, you know, crunch all around on it. So I just kind of flash fried them to get the texture, and then I bake them, and then I put them in the sauce. What do you usually do, Mark,
if you're allowed to tell? You brown them in the pan, and then they cook in the sauce.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah. That's how I, yeah. My dad, one of my favorite things to do, and this takes me back to my childhood immediately, is we would fry off a couple meatballs completely through. And we would then cut them open and take a piece of provolone cheese and put it in between the meatball and make like a provolone meatball sandwich.
Uh huh.
And it was just literally the meatball with the melted provolone cheese in the middle. And oh my God. It made me feel a little crazy. You dip it in the sauce as well. That is, talk about like a death row last meal.
That's a kook. You're not.
That's probably what I would go with. 610-632-0975. When we come back, Ben Simmons tampering? We'll get to that in a second here on 975 The Fanatic.
MLB could return as early as May. I'm Sam Wilson, and this Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Take advantage of their limited time offer, free seating every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. According to Jeff Passan of ESPN, Major League Baseball is focused on a plan that could allow players to get back to the field as early as May. The plan is to have all 30 teams join in the greater Phoenix area where they can play at Chase Field or the 10 other spring training facilities. The MLB's plan will have to wait until there is a surplus of COVID-19 tests available to the public. According to Passan, the more realistic opening day will be the beginning of June. Hard Knocks, the popular HBO show taking fans behind the scenes of NFL training camps, has announced that they will feature two teams this season, given that the NFL is able to have training camp. The two teams featured will be the Los Angeles Rams and the Los Angeles Chargers. For more news on the current sports shutdown, keep it locked in right here to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Sam Wilson on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. The NFL draft starts Thursday, April 23rd. Keep it locked on 97.5 The Fanatic for all draft updates, news, and rumors. This is Philadelphia's football station. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Right now, staying connected is more important than ever. And fast, reliable internet from Xfinity can help. We have plans to fit every budget, with speeds up to a gig. You can find the one that's right for you at Xfinity.com. And because your safety is our top priority, we'll ship you a self-install kit on us to make setting up your internet quick, safe, and easy. No tech visit required. And our simple digital tools will help you manage your account online or with the Xfinity My Account app. We're doing everything we can to help you stay close to the things that matter to you. So whether you need to check in on family, video chat with coworkers, or just take a minute to relax with your favorite shows and movies, know that we're maintaining a safe and reliable network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. At Xfinity, we're committed to keeping you connected. Find great offers and value today at Xfinity.com. Restrictions apply. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.
The Fanatic is live and local, helping to keep the community connected. Here's what you need to know. Anthony Labruciano, Roofing and Exteriors. If you have a leaky roof that needs immediate attention, go to PA Roof Pros for advice and help. They're also scheduling appointments for after April 1st. The health and safety of Labruciano's customers and communities always come first. What's it like at your place? How are you weathering through this? Let us know. Email us at family@975thefanatic.com. The Fanatic family, keeping us together while we're apart.
Parks Casino and Sportsbook misses all of their great friends and visitors. Please stay safe and support your friends, family, and neighbors during this time. Check Parks Casino and Sportsbook on Facebook and Twitter for news and updates. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Parks Casino, the number one casino in Pennsylvania, hopes you are staying safe during this period. Please check Parks Casino and Sportsbook on Facebook and Twitter for news and updates. Parks Casino and Sportsbook looks forward to seeing you very soon. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There will be parties again soon and family gatherings. There'll be parades and sporting events and concerts. To help our communities when they come back together, respond to the 2020 census now. Spend a few minutes online today to impact the next 10 years of healthcare, infrastructure, and education. Respond online today to make America's tomorrow brighter. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
At CDW, we get that businesses will try anything to increase productivity.
We try to increase productivity by putting energy drink in our water cooler.
Slow down, friend. A better idea is to have CDW deploy new devices powered by 8th generation Intel Core V Pro processors.
I get it. Why can't you talk faster?
For productivity solutions, you need Intel and IT orchestration by CDW. Find out more at cdw.com/begreat. Make the shift.
O'Reilly. This is Derek's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
After the third time jump-starting my car, I finally realized my battery was dying. So I stopped by O'Reilly to have it checked. They tested it right there in the parking lot. It was bad, real bad. But they helped me find the right battery for my car and even installed it for free. Now my car starts like new.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you're a pro, Lowe's knows how hard you work every day. So it's important that others are working hard for you. We're here to help with the supplies you need to make critical repairs and the products your customers need to keep their homes safe and healthy during this important time. From our convenient curbside loading to spring savings on the products you need most, Our focus is to help keep your business moving forward. Lowe's is pro ready, and we thank you for all you do.
As soon as we're back out in our yard, yep, we get company.
Dandelions, lurking crabgrass, and wheat thin grass. But Scout's Turf Builder Triple Action takes care of them all. Now, with one bag, you can kill weeds, prevent crabgrass for up to 4 months, and feed for greener grass. Triple Action, so your lawn thrives, guaranteed. Only from Scott's.
Weeds aren't welcome here.
This is a Scott's Yard. Pick up a bag of Scott's Triple Action today.
The Fanatic is live and local, helping to keep the community connected. Here's what you need to know. Support a true Philly favorite, Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse with curbside pickup. Del Frisco's is offering a limited menu and half off all bottles of wine. Open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Visit delfriscos.com. Can't wait to see you soon, Philly. Stay safe. Let us help you stay connected. Email us at family@975thefanatic.com. The Fanatic family, keeping us together while we're apart. Genuine Philly sports talk. 97.5, The Fanatic.
Coming up 9 o'clock today, we'll talk to Adam Lefko from the Adam Lefko Show, also NBA on TNT. That's an incredible gig, man. He's a local guy, Adam Lefko, and he has done good, man. He has done good for himself. Bob, I know you're itching. We'll get to the Ben Simmons news in a second. Here, we'll get back to Alshon Jeffrey and Cam Newton and baseball saying it's going to return as they invade Arizona, possibly. But, Bob, go ahead. What are the texts saying? I know you want to get to this. What are your friends? What are your buddies saying?
On this text chain, I have a Lascalzo, a Rocabaldo, and a Di Loretto. All right?
Couple good Irishmen?
Yeah.
Oh, so, I love Chinese food. Go ahead.
Two of the three Italians chiming in here.
Oh, okay.
Will not
Pause.
Go.
Pause.
All right, I'm teasing.
All right.
So two of the three will not taste other people's meatballs.
Yeah.
The one, Di Loretto, who was a chunky little boy, had no problem trying anybody else's meatballs. Yeah. And now I'm getting all these recipes. A dash of honey is what one of the guys' moms used to put in her meatballs. And they were delicious. We ate over their house.
I never heard of that.
15 meals at their house, yeah.
I never heard that.
Yeah, how about that? It is funny what people like to put in their sauces and meatballs and stuff like that. Like Scotty Rego from the Sixers used to tell me when he loves to put a sprinkling of sugar in his.
That's a very
common to kid break down the acid or the breaks down the acidity a little bit.
I don't do that. I first heard about that with some of my friends that I'll say make they're into the soul food. That was the first I had heard about that was a soul food thing.
With
the sugar in the sauce or the gravy, for instance. I don't know anyone in my family that does that, but I've heard of that more from the soul food culture of the world. Which my first soul food meal was one of the greatest meals I ever had in my life. I didn't go meatball, but they had a nice sauce or gravy over the spaghetti, and it was fantastic. Also, I'll never forget the chicken wings. Oh, my God, it was so good. Oh, my God, amazing. But, yeah, those are just some of the unique things. Yeah.
So tasting someone else's sauce is okay.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
No, I'm just asking. I like to absorb knowledge, so this fascinates me.
Well, I can only tell you the fact. I can't tell you the reason for.
That's fine.
Other than guilt. That's really the only thing that's holding anybody back from eating anybody else's meal. Put it that way. here's the issue. Modern day journalism we like to have fun with, Bob. And you know, for all the years that you were a beat writer and writing for Inquirer.com now, Philadelphia Daily News, for instance. Things have changed a lot in the journalism world. Mm-hmm. There's now social media journalism where, oh my God, this player liked this other player's post. Does this player now want to play with that player in that city? Oh no! We followed it all throughout the Bryce Harper saga over a year ago now. That's now modern day journalism. Well, let's kick it up a notch, all right, to stay with the cooking theme. Ben Simmons, avid gamer, loves Call of Duty, was playing video games in Call of Duty with players around the NBA.
By the way, I've been playing a ton of Call of Duty during this.
Yeah?
He's not wrong. It's addictive.
Dude, video games are addicting. Like I,
this, if you this one is fun, man.
All right. Well, I'll tell you about the one that I've been playing. But he gets out there, and I last played Call of Duty for I think it was like PS2. Okay, I think that's what it was. That's like me. That's the last time I played. I can't really vouch for it.
Oh, I
do hear it's addicting. Oh, you're terrible?
Yeah, because you know the teens online are scary. They play too much. They're good.
And you have like a family.
I'm getting better, yeah. Shopping. But I can squeeze in like maybe an hour of play a day, whereas some people are probably playing 9-10 hours a day.
Good God. Oh, I'm so envious. Anyway, like really, just to have nothing else to do.
That'd be awesome.
But so these guys are playing the Call of Duty, and Ben Simmons is playing the Call of Duty. And I think he's playing Devin Booker.
Yes, who he has mentioned before as being pretty good.
Yeah. And
these guys became friends with like all the professional Call of Duty players out there. Like okay. they're buddy buddies with like the top players in the world now.
And what's happening is Ben Simmons is reading comments from people that are commenting on them playing the game. This is the world we live in now. And Ben Simmons reads one particular comment. Here's Ben Simmons reading this comment to Devin Booker.
I think of you and I on March 12th.
That's Adam Silver. He was not playing Call of Duty.
I wish Book would come for you.
All right. Let's start that over real quick, Jamie. What, hit it again. One more time.
Chase 11 Brooks. I wish Book would come to Philly. I'm just reading what's said.
There you go. I'm just reading what's said. So Devin Booker then responds to that. And he goes, oh, come on, man. Why you got to start that? And he's like, I'm just reading what's said. Ben Simmons starts to realize what's happening, which is kind of a little bit of tampering. Because he just said out loud that Devin Booker needs to come to the 76ers. First off, I'm not opposed to that idea. Second, he can't get in trouble for that, right? Like, the NBA's not going to flex their muscles over a video game comment, right?
There's probably a phone call being made today, I would assume.
Slap on the wrist?
Yeah, like, yo, dude. And Ben saying, I know. Okay.
Right.
Thank you. Hope you're safe. Click.
Because he kind of admitted in the midst of it, yeah, I shouldn't have read that, but I'm just reading the comments people are making.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a way they could get Devin Booker on the Sixers, is there? See what happens? You see what happens? They play Call of Duty, and the next thing you know, we're just talking about whether or not Devin Booker
be a hell of a fit. For all those people that are into the fit thing.
That would be a good backport, yeah.
No, yeah. Man,
fit's stupid. No, I would absolutely revel.
But would you shank Bob to get that Devin?
I would.
Can we do a show where, Jamie, can we do a show where no one gets shanked, please? For the last, like, 2 weeks, whenever we talk about the draft, it always ends with you stabbing me or Bob, sharpening a toothbrush.
Out of love, though.
Right. Yeah, of course. You'd do it
it's not malicious.
In a muscle, not an organ. I mean, come on. You have some class about
thigh,
it.
Thigh, yeah. He's a thigh guy.
Yeah, a thigh guy. Exactly. Yeah. That's all we're saying. That's all we're saying is all. So that was a little fun Ben Simmons was having out there. But, yes, Call of Duty is, from what I understand, a very addicting video game. And now is a time where a lot of people are jumping back on the video games.
Oh, yeah.
For obvious reasons. And I've been hooked on this game. I don't have 9 hours to play. Like, maybe I'll get like a half hour where I can just kind of zone out, baby sleeping, whatever it might be. And I've never gone hunting in my life. But what has attracted me to this game so much, it's called Hunter Call of the Wild, is that the whole game takes place in the wilderness. So while I'm stuck, you know, in our house, in my mind, like, you're basically playing this video game going around hunting while at the same time you're listening to sleep sounds. Like, it's such a relaxing game because you're just out in the forest, basically, you know, going hunting, virtually, of course. Bob, have you, like, is there ever been a video game of choosing for you? I know you went outside to play basketball, but did you ever get hooked on, like, NBA 2K, or did you ever play NBA 2K? What was the last video game you played?
I've played NBA 2K with Kyle a few times. I don't find them addicting at all. I as you guys know, sitting down and watching a movie to me and just having to focus on something that I'm not sure I'm going to like isn't something that I do. I will say, like, all right, so the kids have Wii set up. I don't know if this isn't the same thing. The kids have Wii set up, and they do that. Uh-huh. I could play that for like 20 minutes a day.
Yeah, yeah. That's an activity. That's like I want to get a Wii and just play Home Run Derby all day, actually.
I do. So we all do our Wii Fit every morning. It shows you how athletically old you are. And yesterday I was the record 20 years old because I'm just a Wii expert. But I do find that a little bit enjoyable. But again, after 15 or 20 minutes, I'm like, all right, that's it. And I don't have to go back to it now.
There you go. Jamie, you're hooked on Call of Duty right now.
Oh, yeah. It's the first video game I've played that hasn't been named FIFA in a long time. Because I've been playing with buddies. You know, I got some friends up in Fairmount that I play with. So we get online and we talk trash to the teens and try and kill them, and it's a good time. It's bonding.